got her entire education history here in the room, because Paul Zeta is also here. Paul was a teacher of Celeste from her early years, and I topped it off by being her PhD supervisor. So we've got you surrounded. It's no escape. One of the great things about working in an art school is that people come to you with great ideas, and particularly at the level that I met Celeste. She came with this project from her master's in Tasmania, University of Tasmania, where Paul has worked for many years. And she had a problem in her with her work. She said she had a problem because she could paint too well. This is a problem we all
wish. I framed it quite.
Yeah, it wasn't quite that. But that was how I read it. I said she. What she was saying in that early conversation was, she's got this facility to paint, and of course, what do you do with that? This is a big question for all painters. Once you have a sort of facility, and you particularly representational work around the human body, what do you do with that? In a world where there's been a lot of discussion around de-skilling, a lot of discussion about sort of an abstraction of figuration and representation. And one of the things that Celeste was really wrestling with was how do you get something that has a complexity about it when you can actually represent something that is just very faithful. And as you can tell in her work, she has great virtuosity and great facility in her painting. So what do you do with that in the complexity of the world of the 21st century? And one of the things, of course, that she had consistently done in her work was to use images of herself for photographing and using herself as a model. There's obviously a whole history of that sort of preoccupation with representation, using yourself as a model, the history of self-portraiture. One of the misconceptions, I think, about self-portraiture is that it's about you having some obsession with your own image. Much of it is actually that you are available to yourself. And in fact, you don't have to put people through the long and torturous sittings. So a lot of the time it's a very pragmatic purpose. But it is also one that you can play with. And one of the things that Celeste has done during the time when I first knew her, but also since, was to play with this notion of images of herself and trying to disrupt it and trying to cast doubt over it and trying to make it more complex and make it more ambiguous. And what was so pleasurable about being her PhD supervisor was that every time we met, she would bring this great pile of books that I hadn't read. So I had this wonderful education, and also it was just this, in the world that I inhabited at that time, and probably a little bit still, which was administrative, to have these wonderful discussions about painting was just a pleasure. And of course, one of the things that is also great is when you go through a journey with somebody in this context, is you think it through with them as they come through their various stages of research and enlightenment and insight. One of them that was fascinating to me was this idea of tronies. In fact, I had forgotten it. I had to text her to get the word. But this fabulous term, which really relates, and I'll probably get this wrong, Celeste, you might have to correct me, but really relates to the work that was done, particularly by Rembrandt and others, which was it being in character and creating a sort of character that is not yourself, but using yourself as this character building experience. And so that all of a sudden, I think, when you discovered that and when we talked about it, that was a real moment for crystallising the project. And it was terrific when things come together like that. It's really fantastic. And so the work that you've done since that, I think, has really drawn on a lot of that thinking. And so the idea of this strange ambiguity of personality, of characterization, And of course, Jane Eckert's wonderful essay that's with your catalogue here calls it very expertly, recognise Jane here, this is a tradition of disruption, but a tradition that makes you consider identity in different ways. And so one of the pleasures of Celeste's work is, firstly, it's beautiful painting, the luminosity that she gets in skin tones, all the things that are still fascinating to us, but also these wonderful shifts of the personality shifts. And for the first time that I've seen the photographs that she took, which were her reference material, and we were just talking about what that does to the experience of the paintings. And in a way, I think, we were just talking about this, it does highlight the performativity, the performance nature of it, that she is, with shaving cream, or whatever this is, creating a sort of a self-mythology of these, this sort of character, these, this, this cast of characters from which she can draw. And all sorts of strange references, clearly the notion of the ladies' night, this idea of dressing up and of the sort of artifice of that. But also the other extraordinary references to what seem to be almost mythological figures, sort of gender ambiguity and so on. So I think this is a very good example in a way of where you can go with the complexity of a problem, which is that you're too good, or that you're good at your skill and your painting, but also you really want to have something that has a poetry, a sort of mythology, something that you can't quite get. And I think a lot of these paintings leave you a bit wondering, what is that? What is that mask? Who is that referenced about? So always interesting to see where things develop. The great thing about Celeste's work is it's always, in a way, challenging and developing and pushing. And she's had many shows this year. A lot of work has been produced this year, and she's certainly in a most prolific phase. So it's a pleasure to be here, pleasure to congratulate you on the show, and for you all to enjoy it. So thank you.